Hare Krishna, welcome to the YouTube live and welcome to the call. Very grateful to all of you for joining. Today we're going to talk about something very wonderful, very exciting, and we're trying to get a new purpose, new perspective on something, and a bhakti perspective, a spiritual perspective, a Krishna conscious perspective on building communities, building families, building relationships, and also why those relationships are extremely important for our Krishna consciousness, and also how women, you know, by their feminine nature and their prakriti nature, they perform this very important function of keeping the entire community together and helping the community and society and people individually advance in Krishna consciousness. And this is an indirect way of preaching or stabilizing people so that they can continue in their Krishna consciousness. As we had discussed in the second and third sessions, how, you know, having a stable body, a mind, a comfortable space is very important for us to function in our spiritual lives. And we talked about various things in that. We talked about Varnashram and we talked about the importance of engaging in service according to our psychophysical nature and how our individual dharmas, and especially the woman's dharma, is created by Krishna according to the particular nature we possess mostly. And also, you know, how last week we were discussing about, you know, Purusha and Prakriti and how women are naturally situated in the mode of Prakriti. And how when we do those things according to our nature, according to our modes, and according to our individual capacities, then it gives us a place, not just us, because if one thing is we become peaceful by doing something like that, and because we are peaceful, and if everyone is individually following like that, the entire society becomes a very peaceful place. So not only do you have a peaceful body and mind, but you also live in a peaceful, well-nurtured, loving community of beautiful relationships. And that also, you know, this thing, this necessity that we have to belong. So when we belong to a nice community that is dovetailing itself in Krishna consciousness, that is advancing together, helping each other go further in Krishna consciousness, that's a very stable and a very wonderful springboard for us to go further in our Krishna consciousness. So today we are going to talk about one of the women's role, and today we'll be drawing a few things from Chinese culture. We will be reading some parts from there also, and this applies even in Islamic culture or in, you know, the American culture, or whatever you talk about, whichever traditional cultures. This is a very powerful role that a woman does in keeping the community together and keeping the society stable and Krishna conscious to her role. So she may not be wearing the robes of a sannyasi and roaming around the world preaching directly the message of Krishna consciousness, but just by being a woman, you know, how she keeps the society spiritually inspired through developing a loving network of relationships. And this is going to be the focus of our discussion today. I hope you can all hear me very well. And I'm just checking that if everything is going on fine. Can you all hear me now? All right. Okay, so we'll move on to the first slide of the presentation. And here we have, again, last week we discussed various instructions of Narad Muni that define a chaste woman. So there were four instructions from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narad Muni is giving a lot of instructions on society and family life and duties of a man, duties of a king, duties of a brahmana, duties of a businessman, duties of the service class, etc. So he also talks a little bit about the women's duties. And we had four verses on that. And one of the verses was to render service to the husband, to be always favorably disposed toward the husband, to be equally well disposed towards the husband's relatives and friends, and to follow the vows of the husband. These are the four principles to be followed by women who are described as chaste. So here we had some wonderful discussion last week, and we talked about the power of following our dharma and the power of, you know, being a chaste woman. And we can know things beyond the range of the senses. That is what we didn't discuss. I think we missed doing that story, but we will do it at a later point, about the story of a woman and the chaste Brahmana, like, sorry, the chaste woman and a Brahmachari, and how she's able to tell him exactly everything about his life. And then he asks her, how was she able to do that? And then she tells him that because I'm chaste, I am able to, you know, I have been given this kind of knowledge. Like that. So, I think someone on the conference call has me on speaker, and if you can put me on mute so I won't hear my own echo, it gets a little distracting for me. So, thank you. So, another thing we discussed is how material elements work in her favor, and how a woman's duties are, you know, they situate us so nicely as a natural behavior of Prakriti towards the Lord. That is just like the Jiva towards the Lord, the spirit soul towards the Lord, serving the Supreme Lord out of love and affection. The woman, because of the body she has received and the role she has in society, it is equivalent to, it is natural in the sense that whatever her duty she does towards, you know, her family and towards her society with a Krishna conscious perspective, it naturally connects with the duties of a spirit soul in connection with the Lord. And we discussed that also last time. And we also discussed about how in the Srimad Bhagavatam, there are many times descriptions of how a woman's duty towards her husband and family is similar to the, a lot of parallels are drawn from that to describe the duties of a disciple towards his guru, like that. And the chastity of her woman, you know, the qualities of chastity that she has, and also, you know, only being attached to her own, only her husband, that also is the chastity of a disciple towards his guru's instructions, and the chastity of a Prakriti or the Jiva towards the Lord, where he accepts only the Lord as his shelter, like that. So Narad Muni has now given these instructions on chastity, and now we also understand how chastity makes a woman powerful. And we will connect this verse with how this, you know, following this instruction of Narad Muni helps a woman keep society together. Like that. So another aspect is that we discussed last time was about Purusha and Prakriti and its imitation in the material world. And there was this one particular point in that, that the woman tends to define herself more in terms of mine, in the sense of belonging to the husband, the home and the children, belonging to that family, like that. Just like the Jiva defines, or the soul defines itself in terms of belonging to the Lord, like that. So just like, because she defines herself in terms of belonging like that, her field of activity is her husband and the family that comes from the husband. And of course, she takes care of her parents also. But her primary work, because she lives with the husband and she lives in that realm, is around that particular realm. So now a husband, because she defines herself in terms of mine, belonging to the husband, now, there are a lot of duties that are defined for a grihastha in the same series of the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, where Narad Muni is describing so many things. So in one of the chapters, which is Ideal Family Life, chapter 14 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, and you all can go, you all can search, read that chapter. It's not a very big chapter, probably like 25 verses. Narad Muni discusses the duties of a householder. So the duties of the householder, and it, all those duties are connected to the main purpose of life, which is to develop love and service towards the Lord and his devotees, and to serve the Lord very nicely, and to make our life successful. That is, we go back home, back to Krishna in this particular lifetime, where we don't have to take this material body ever again. So all the duties are defined in terms of that. And then there are duties that are defined in that particular chapter around elders, around association with saintly persons, around charity, along dealing with relatives, along the lines of earning and maintenance, and you know, the relationship with other species and community and neighbors, and everything has been described very nicely in that chapter. So Narad Muni describes the duties of a householder. Now, these are the duties. Now, for a householder, for a husband or for a man, if these duties are defined for him, because a woman defines herself in terms of mine, belonging, those duties are also hers. Because as we discussed in the verse 7, the first verse that we discussed today, that it is to follow the vows of the husband. So it is a vow of a grihastha man to do all of these duties. And the wife assists him and facilitates him in performing those duties. And when that householder couple performs these duties towards other living entities very nicely, then it forms a very nice spiritually centered society. So to go on to the next slide, there are duties that the woman then has in helping her husband follow his vows. Then the duty, well, the woman has duties towards her husband, towards the children, towards the extended family, towards the elders, towards the spiritual elders, that is the renounced order saintly persons, towards husband's friends, her own friends, towards society, towards the helpers, like the services that we get, which may not be so much true in the US, but you can still find ways to help, you know, the service class that is there around you, to help the poor and to take care of the animals. So now if you notice, all our slides are going to have the background as some wonderful, very beautiful fabrics. And the reason we chose fabrics as this theme is because when we were reading this verse and when we were connecting it with, you know, the grihasthashram duties and how a woman is supposed to do that. So when a woman follows the vow of her husband of grihastha ashram, that has been described in the 7th canto, 14th chapter, and she assists the husband and facilitates the husband, and in fact, actually, she takes the lead in most of the things, even if they are defined for the husband. It's actually her leadership that makes everything possible. When she does that, she's like an expert weaver. Like, you have this picture of a weaver. And a weaver makes the fabric beautiful by having a beautiful interplay of colors and a taut interlacing of the vertical and the horizontal threads, which are called as a warp and the filling threads, right? So when you have these threads going straight and going horizontal and going vertical, and then by intricately working on each and every intersection of the threads, you know, a beautiful, thick, tight tapestry or fabric is made, right? So a woman, through her service of assisting the husband and leading the husband in performing the grihastha ashrams, she makes this beautiful fabric of society, and she makes it so wonderful, so beautiful, so perfect, and so tightly knit and woven that it helps everyone in the society advance very nicely in Krishna consciousness. So while it may be glamorous to go around the world preaching, and of course very, very beneficial, but a woman's service in the background is the one that actually helps put those instructions into practice. So a woman, through her service based out of love and responsibility, keeps the society together. So she is that expert weaver that weaves all the spiritual instructions into society, keeps it tight, keeps it close. And if you also look at it, there may be a lot of vertical threads in the cloth, but unless you have the horizontally running threads, it's impossible for the fabric to be tight. So not only is the woman the expert weaver, but she's also the horizontal or the weft or the filling thread. And we will see how that works. You know, this is a very scientific system that has been created by Krishna. And it's followed across the world in different traditions, because each of the traditions finally have their root in the Sanatana Dharma, the Vedic tradition coming from Krishna. And how, by extending herself and serving all these entities that we have mentioned in this slide, a woman, you know, is so powerful, and how she keeps society together. So we will begin with, one thing is to understand is, like, there is a way in which we relate with people, and there is a natural Krishna conscious way in which we relate with people. And there can be an extremely materialistic mode of passion, mode of ignorance, way in which we relate people. So before we go into the details of individual activities of how a woman relates to each of these different entities and serves them, we first want to set the basis of the loving exchanges that happen between each of these entities. And the basis is to help each one advance spiritually. And the basis of all that we'll discuss today will be this Nectar of Instruction verse by Srila Rupa Goswami, the fourth verse, which says, Dadati prati grihnati guhyam akhyati prichyati bhungte bhojayate chaiva sadvidhim priti lakshanam. So this says, offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, revealing one's mind in confidence, inquiring confidentially, accepting prasad and offering prasad are the six symptoms of love shared by one devotee and another. So the symptoms of love, like, you know, even if you look at normal mundane society, basically you give gifts to people, they give gifts to you. And then you talk about, you know, how's your life and what's going on for you. They talk about that. And, you know, you offer them food, you know, you invite them home and, you know, treat them to a feast. And then then they return the favor or they call you back home so that they get more time to be with you and to spend time with you. So they also offer you a feast. But on the spiritual level, Rupa Goswami, and we are all followers of Rupa Goswami, the entire movement is based on the instructions of Rupa Goswami, the movement of the Hare Krishna movement. And he's saying that the six symptoms of love between one devotee and another, between one family and another, between different members of society should be based on this. Now, what is different between what Rupa Goswami is telling and what normal society does? The difference is when we say, when Rupa Goswami is telling offering gifts in charity, accepting charitable gifts, he means gifts in Krishna consciousness. We serve Krishna conscious, we share the holy name with others, we read Srimad Bhagavatam together, or we give these kind of Krishna conscious gifts. And the highest gift is to give someone the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Give someone that particular Maha Mantra so that they can make spiritual advancement in life. And that is the highest gift. Or you give other Krishna conscious gifts, like you give the gift of your service, or you give the gift of books. You give those kind of gifts. And then revealing one's mind in confidence and inquiring confidentially is about, you know, how am I making advancement in my spiritual life? You know, what am I struggling with and what I need help from you about? And then your friend also does the same thing, where they talk about what is, you know, troubling them in their Krishna consciousness and what is, you know, or what, you know, what are the different things that they need to make advancement, or what are the things that are blocking them, what are the obstacles that are there. So this is how you reveal your mind in confidence with each other, not that which car did I buy and, you know, where am I going on vacation. That's not useful conversation. But we reveal these kind of things so that we can all help each other in making advancement. And therefore, confidentiality is also emphasized, because you don't want your story to be exposed everywhere. You want a trusting relationship. And then accepting prasad and offering prasad, because we've discussed about prasad so many times, especially last time, and the next session is going to be full of prasad, you know, discussion on prasad. It's, you know, when we call people home for dinner or for lunch, then it's better that we cook something that we offer to Krishna and then we offer that to them, because that is the highest benefit we can give to the other living entity. That purifies their consciousness, that gives them a taste of something that Krishna has tasted. And, you know, Krishna's remnants. And that helps them purify their intelligence so that they can go further spiritually. So this is our basis of the loving exchanges. So at the mundane level, also the similar things happen. But this is how we want to do it in a Krishna conscious way. So this is the basis we are going to follow. And now we will look at each individual aspect. So when we talk about service to the elders, family elders and her own as well, in the seventh chapter, and that is one of the duties of the grihastha, is to take care of the forefathers, oblations to the forefathers who have already left their body, and also for those who are, you know, there right now, the elderly generation. And what do they need? They need love and care. They need a place to live. They need someone to take care of their basic needs, financial needs. They need someone to give them prasadam, someone to take care of their health. You know, proper care is needed. That so that, you know, when they're sick, someone is there to take care of them, or, you know, someone just works so nicely so that they don't fall sick. And why all these things are needed? So that they can make an attempt to go back to Godhead in this lifetime, because they're done with their duties. So we take care of these things for them so that they can prepare themselves for better life after death, as Prabhupada is explaining in the purport to Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, 8th Chapter, 5th Verse. Protection of the old women, men and women, gives them a chance to prepare themselves for better life after death. Now, the translation said, the purport said men. I included and women because when the word men is used, it includes women also, like that. So we do this thing. Why? So that they can fulfill the aim of life. If they have to bother about where to get the food from and where to get the money from and how to take care of their health, and if they're overwhelmed with so many things at the last stages of their life, or the last years, 10, 20 years of their life, then, you know, they will be so overwhelmed with that, they may never be able to fulfill the aim of life. But if rather we facilitate them nicely, then, you know, they can pursue their Krishna consciousness. And in the chapter 6 of the instructions for Chinese women and girls by Zhao Pan, on the reverence due to the father and mother-in-law, and chapter 5 is on the reverence due to the girl's parents. A lot of these things are described about how we should take care of their physical needs, how we should take care of their emotional needs, how we should be respectful to them because we have received so much wisdom from them, and how we must, you know, prepare things that, you know, keep the food soft and keep the bed soft, you know, have their things ready because their bodies shake. It's difficult for them to get these things on their own. And, you know, things like that, give them a lot of love because they're feeling so vulnerable. You know, it's, we've not yet gone to that stage. But in that stage, one feels so vulnerable, you know, because their body is not functioning properly. And, you know, you don't want them to be bothered about these other things. So a good wife can facilitate that service to her husband's family elders and her own as well. And we have this very beautiful example in our community of Sujata Mataji and her sons Pavan and Harish. I think Pavan is, or Harish is already 23 or 24. He's already working, and Pavan is in college. And Mataji is, you know, feeling so concerned about her in-laws who are 80 plus years old in India. And she is making that attempt. She is going, now she's planning to move to India and stay there for time. And maybe she'll keep making a few brief visits back here to, you know, because her husband will be here with the son. Son is already in college. He lives in the dorm. But she's saying, who will take care of them? You know, they are old right now. And so she's taking that step and she's going over there. So, I mean, nobody expects her to move countries and to go and do that. But she's helping her husband in serving his parents by doing some step like that. And it is impossible if the wife does not agree to serve the husband's parents or his family. It is impossible for the husband to do anything about it. He can't really fulfill that particular aspect of dharma. And why? Because to care for someone, you need that feminine nature. And for a husband also, even if you don't need the feminine nature, even if his own feminine nature of love and care is developed very nicely, he can't do much without the permission and without the support of his wife. Because it's a family that lives together, decides things together. If the wife does not agree, then the husband really can't do much to serve the parents. And we have all seen a lot of that in, you know, in different experiences in our life. So if a woman can facilitate that, she can either allow that or disallow that. But if a woman facilitates that, that is the protection that can come for the old men, even if that's something the men are supposed to do, old men and women. But if a woman is one facilitates that through her cooking, through her love and care, through giving a comfortable home, a comfortable place to live, and things like that. And keeping the expenses in such a way so that, you know, others can also be served nicely. So it's a woman plays a very important role. Not to say that the man doesn't have a role in it. We are doing this series to emphasize what a woman's role is in all of these different aspects. So if a woman does that, it naturally keeps the family happy, and the and it's a good example in society also. And it also protects these old men and women so that they can pursue the aim of life. And that's a beautiful service you can offer to another living entity in assisting their growth in going back home, back to Godhead. And Krishna is very pleased. Now, one may say that what if the in-laws or the parents are not into, you know, the bhakti path, and, you know, then it's a waste of my time. No, sorry, it's not a waste of your time, because whatever they have done, it's because of that you are reaping the benefits, because of their blessings, because of their you know, hard work, and we must offer our gratitude to them. So now a woman may say that, oh, but they're not my parents, they're my husband's parents. Well, that is your duty as a woman, as Narad Muni is explaining, that to be well situated, to be favorable to the husband's relatives. It's one of the duties of a woman, like that. Now, favorable to husband's relatives and friends. So now, you know, what do the relatives and friends need? They also need love and care. Sometimes they may visit you. They might need a place to live. They'll need some you to take care of some of their basic needs, some of the prasadam, some of the health needs and Krishna consciousness, like that. You know, the way we engage with relatives and friends is Narad Muni has given the formula in the 4th canto, 8th chapter, 34th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He talks about this to Dhruv Maharaj, and he says, every man should act like this. So you can read it like that. Every person should act like this. When they meet a person more qualified than themselves, they should be very pleased. When they meet someone less qualified than themselves, they should be compassionate towards them. And when they meet someone equal to themselves, they should make friendship with them. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this world. So, you know, we host people, we take care of people, we extend ourselves to relatives and friends as a couple. So it's important that both of them participate together. So the husband's desire is there, but the wife's desire is not there. It's not possible. And if the wife's desire is there, but the husband's desire is not there to serve his own family, it may still be possible. And also if the woman's desire is there to serve her family, but the husband's desire is not there to serve her own family, her own relatives and friends, then also it becomes difficult. So this cooperation is very important. So Narad Muni talks about the husband's relatives and friends because the husband is connected to those persons. And if the wife does not support those loving relationships that the husband has with his family and friends, it's not possible. And if we support those loving relationships, it's a very important way to preach Krishna consciousness to them. Because if they see that, hey, they're following this spiritual path and they're making nice spiritual advancement, and whenever I go to their place or whenever I talk to them, they treat me so nicely with so much love and affection. You know, I'm very attracted to the spiritual path that they are following. So relationships are also opportunities to practice humility and develop qualities dear to Krishna, because whenever we have these relationships with people, there will always be some kind of friction because everyone is different. So it's an opportunity to develop humility and, you know, develop qualities, because to deal with people, you have to humble yourself, you have to be tolerant in order to be favorable. So you see, it's a wonderful arrangement that is made in a woman's dharma so that she can develop those qualities that are dear to Krishna. And also the way to keep yourself safeguarded from any kind of, pain in a relationship is to act from a platform of, I'm spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna. They are also spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. They are servants of the same master. They're children of the master that I'm a servant of. So I show my gratitude to my master by serving his children very nicely. So you act from that platform of the soul and you serve them as spirit souls, part and parcel of Krishna. And you base your loving exchanges based on the six loving exchanges in a spiritual way mentioned by Rupa Goswami that we already discussed. All, you know, if you don't do that, all of these things, then the relationships become mundane. And then, you know, all that friction and fight and dissatisfaction and all of these things happen like that. So some things for us to be mindful of and be careful about. So if a woman allows it, and if a woman not just allows it, but she extends herself and serves nicely, then it again forms a very wonderful network of relationships, keeps the husband pleased, keeps the relatives and friends pleased. And, you know, the husband will also eventually develop gratitude for the woman. And it develops a nice society, a nice family atmosphere. See, whenever there is friction, even we don't feel happy. Now there may be situations where the relationships with the husband's relatives and friends may be difficult ones, right? And there may be places where they may not understand you. There may be places where, you know, they may, you know, demean you or not treat you well and things like that. So we're not, if people, basically one thing is honor and dishonor, as again, when Dhruv Maharaj felt very insulted by his father, Narad Muni told him that honor and dishonor is designed by a previous action. So if you can understand I'm being honored or dishonored, then you should be so intelligent also to understand that whatever is coming by our previous karma. But at the same time, does not mean that we consistently expose ourselves to attack and to danger. So the thing is, we can, you know, keep a safe distance from those who are envious. So we first see if there is any problem, whether it is because of us or it is because of them. And any difficulty is a good step for us to show us our own attachments. Like, you know, what am I attached to, which is not getting satisfied, because of which it's disturbing me? And or rather, what lesson does Krishna want me to learn? Why is this person so disturbed by me? Or why is this person acting so badly with me? You know, what have I caused to them? So it's a very good place for us to practice humility. And then, you know, you do it, then, you know, because you try all these things, you see, you introspect, you try to figure out what's wrong, you know, what's not working right from your side, you try to fix it. But if still the relationship doesn't get better and it's probably getting more and more harmful for you and your Krishna consciousness, then you keep a safe distance from them. because distance is an insulator. It protects you from, you know, making offenses, because if someone treats us badly, then, you know, we start thinking badly about them, or we have negative feelings and all, and we might commit offenses towards them, and that's not good for our Krishna consciousness. So safe distance is good, but distance does not mean that we, you know, but the distance should still come from a place of service. How can I best serve in this situation? Okay, I can best serve in this situation by keeping a distance. We don't make the distance out of anger and envy, because then we are still carrying those things in our heart. You know, they are still parts and parcel of Krishna. So we maintain the respect for them, but we maintain our distance and we do our duties towards them, whatever little has to be done. You don't encounter them every day. So you do it in a detached way. And you respect them, but you don't trust them in the future. And also, one important thing that I want to specify is that Narad Muni specifies in this ideal, you know, the householder duties chapter, family life. He's telling that, you know, we have to do our duties enough to the husband's relatives and friends, but we don't, or to any relative and any friend, we don't develop, like, you know, mundane attachments with them. And he says that we have to keep our program of life very simple so that we can focus on Krishna consciousness. So we make relationships with them, and if they are not Krishna conscious, or, you know, or if they are not, you know, or whatever, if Narad Muni says, if there are suggestions, an intelligent man in human society should make his own program of activities very simple. If there are suggestions from his friends, children, parents, brothers, or anyone else, he should externally agree, saying, yes, that is all right. But internally, he should be determined not to create a cumbersome life in which the purpose of life will not be fulfilled. So we do it as a service to them, but it's not that we become overly entangled in everything so that, our Krishna consciousness goes for a toss. So, you know, something to understand, something for us to follow. But again, as we saw in the previous slide, if we follow some of these things, and mostly things are usually favorable only, it creates a nice network, a favorable network for us to also attract other people to Krishna consciousness like that. And, you know, sometimes you associate with the relatives and friends are very close. What better that you make them Krishna conscious, so that you always have Krishna conscious association when you're dealing with your relatives and friends also, like that. And, you know, to serve and be well disposed to the husband. Now, why is that important? Basically, what does the husband need? You know, he needs a Krishna conscious, he needs to advance in his Krishna conscious, and we all need to advance together as a family. You know, we want to, you know, his health, take care of his health, take care of his needs for prasadam. Then other basic needs, you know, make a nice, comfortable and a spiritually enlivening home, so that, you know, the senses and the mind and the body is all feeling calm when everyone is at home and when they are at home. You know, offering them love and care, offering them friendship, you know, offering them encouragement, because, you know, they can only feel comfortable in their house, just like we also feel comfortable in our home. So outside world can be difficult, but if they're confident that, okay, if I go back home, there is at least this one person who loves me unconditionally and is there for me and is there as a guiding light for me and is also there to, you know, protect my Krishna consciousness and, you know, encouraging me and is attentive to my needs. You know, a person feels loved, it's very nice. And why should we do that? Right, yeah, why should we do that? And also now, you know, some of these things are a little difficult because, you know, if both husband and wife are working, they're both dealing with the same elements outside. So when they both come back home, they both need these things. You know, they both need these things. So now we have to figure out ways in which this can be achieved, you know, in a double income home also, where both of them receive these kind of things. But, you know, why is this being given as our dharma and prescribed duty? Because it is an expression of our gratitude for all the companionship, the food, the shelter, the protection and the maintenance that we have received. Now, women who are earning may say that, hey, I can get my own food and shelter and maintenance. But, you know, you still are receiving some protection and companionship by being a married woman. So we do this service out of, you know, an expression of gratitude for those things that we have received. And, you know, whether we're working or not, finally, this is the dharma that has been given to us, our prescribed duty. And so we do it because it's given by Krishna. And it's sinful not to perform your duty. So this is also described in chapter 8. So 5 and 6 of that particular book on Chinese women was about reverencing her own parents, mother and father, and then the husband's parents, you know, expressing that gratitude towards them. And then there are, you know, talks about how reverencing the husband. And I forgot one thing. When we were talking about elders, you know, actually it is very sinful to not serve the elderly generation. And if we don't offer kind words to them, if we offer harsh words to them and things like that, you know, our karma catches up pretty soon. Excuse me. The karma of not doing that catches up soon. And then when that catches up on us, as it is said in the Chinese book, when their punishment comes, there is a punishment of not serving the elders nicely, their repentance is too late. There is then left no road of escape. And regarding reverencing their husband, like this book, the book says very beautifully, when a girl leaves her father's house, her husband thereafter is her nearest relative. And then it talks about how, you know, that is her relationship. So then she treats him very nicely because that's the only relationship she has after she leaves her father's home. Of course, now we are connected and everything, but still you're living day in and day out with that person. So, you know, this book talks about how to carefully give attention and, you know, not imitate stupid women who call calamities on the bad on husbands who do not serve their needs or do not give them enough money. And, you know, be respectful, make sure he gets hot food, you know, take care of him when he's sick, and you know, all of those things. And you know, if you're angry, then you don't express those feelings. You know the right time to express those feelings doesn't mean don't express. And similar things are even described by Draupadi to Satyabhama. Like, you know, what I'm reading in this Chinese book, Draupadi is also expressing similar things in the care and service of her husbands. When Satyabhama is asking, hey, how do you control the Pandavas? And she says, I don't control them. I serve them with love, and that is the only way to control. And she talks similar points that are there in this Chinese book. And like, you know, there are things even mentioned like when the husband is angry, then you don't be angry. You find another time to be angry. And, you know what to cook and, you know, accept him in whatever, you know, situation he is. And if he's rich or poor, you know, still be respectful. And if you do that, then you're going to become very famous as a chaste woman. That's what this Chinese book says. So this is our dharma. And if we do this, as Narad Muni had given us the benediction in the four verses, the last verses about, if you do this, then you are going to go back home, back to Godhead. But now we are not talking about difficult husband. Like, you know, some women may be in very difficult situations. Some may be in very life-threatening situations and things like that, you know. And for that, please take senior guidance, you know, guidance from seniors in the spiritual path. There are people like, you know, Srila Prabhupada disciples, and we're very fortunate to have people like Harivilas Prabhu here or other senior ladies in Krishna consciousness who can guide you properly in those situations. Here we are talking about the general case where everything usually goes on properly. There are just a few disagreements here and there like that. And then, so we talked so far about how, you know, a woman serves the husband's family, serves his relatives and friends, serves her own relatives and friends. And then there is this very important aspect of the householders, and that is described in the 7th chapter, 7th canto, 14th chapter, the ideal grihastha householder life or duties by Narad Muni that we are discussing, is about charity and serving saintly persons. And basically, this whole thing is about receiving guests, serving saintly persons, associating with saintly people, and caring for the poor, caring for the helpers and caring for the animals. And you find similar things in this American book of homemaking, Guidance for Women. And there is also similar things in this Chinese book that I'm reading. And then these things are also described by Narad Muni. They were first described by Narad Muni and then these people followed. Similar things are described. So we are going to go by what Narad Muni has to say about these things and what Prabhupada has to say about these things. And also we'll refer from these other books. So now when a woman facilitates the husband in, you know, dealing nicely with his relatives and friends, and she takes care of the husband himself nicely, she takes care of the relatives and friends nicely, she takes care of the elders nicely, she's already creating a very positive fabric in the society like that. And she's creating a very positive mindset in the minds of people. Because see, when there is a relationship issue, minds are usually disturbed. And, you know, it hurts our own heart and it creates certain heart feelings in our own heart. But by doing her service nicely, she's creating a very positive feel. And she herself, you know, to serve other people and to tolerate other people's whims and fancies, and everyone has their own, you know, nuances. you know, it takes a lot of humility. So by doing those things, a woman also develops her own qualities, which are very favorable for Krishna consciousness. You know, to offer service is what we are trying to learn. We are trying to learn how to offer service to Krishna and his devotees. And by our natural position as a woman, we get to offer service to everyone. And that is such a wonderful thing, because then we are always in service mode. And that is our greatest desire, is to always be in service mode towards all living entities and to see them as part and parcel of Krishna. So it's very wonderful. And when she does this nicely, the husband is also pacified. When she takes care of the husband nicely, and he is also able to think about spiritual matters like that. So now, within charity for a grihastha, it is mentioned about giving out the wealth in charity and also service to guests and saintly people. So we will first discuss about service to guests. So we had done this guest reception program with the girls in the summer. And I mean, the homemaking course, and one of them was about guest reception. And we went right from why we do guest reception to what kind of facilities you need to have in the house, you know, proper well-stocked kitchen, proper linen, washed clothes, you know, nice happy heart, wanting to serve guests and all that. So we'll just take a few slides from that over here. So we were teaching the girls that as a part of cultivation of our own devotional service, there is some daily service that we do. Which is we go, we chant our rounds, we offer bhoga to Krishna, eat a diet of prasadam, you know, keep ourselves Krishna conscious, hear spiritual lectures, you know, Krishna katha every day, and we do different things like that. And then there is also some occasional service, things that we don't do on a daily basis, but it is part of our duties. One thing is service to the devotees of the Lord, then there is service to the guests, a tithi, and then service to the holy places. And we read this, that although Vaishnav Seva and Atithi Seva, that is service to devotees and service to guests, are not direct deity worship, however, to improve the quality of service to the Lord, it is necessary to observe these services. In this way, a sadhaka is trained to see the super soul in the heart of every living entity, especially Vaishnavas and guests. Right? So we have this nice picture where the sadhu is able to see the Supreme Lord in the heart of an elephant, in the heart of a dog, in the dog eater, in a brahmana boy, in the cow. He's able to see the Lord in everyone, and he's able to see how everyone is a part and parcel of the Lord. So when we take care of guests nicely, take care of devotees nicely, when we take care of our family nicely, husband's family, our family, husband's guests, relatives, our in-laws, everyone nicely, we are actually, it is helping us improve the quality of service to the Lord, right? Because you have to remember one thing, how you treat each other, like how we treat our husband or how we treat our children or how we treat, you know, our in-laws or other family members, our own parents and all. You know, if the Lord also lives with us for a long time, like how our family members live with us, then we will treat the Lord also in the same way. And because the Lord is also a person, so one day you will be in awe and reverence, but after 2-3 days you will think like, what? Why is the Lord behaving like this? Why is he eating butter all the time? You know, why is he not, you know, he's wearing this forest flower garland and then all the flower petals keep falling in the house and then I have to keep cleaning. And you know, what is this, you know, why he's walking barefoot and then the carpet in my house is getting dirty. You know, we will start thinking, taking the Lord also cheaply. So that's why the Lord has not yet accepted us back in the spiritual world, because these are the kind of thoughts we have towards other living entities. So it's a nice playground for us. It's a nice nets, you know. In the cricket, you have the practice nets where you practice all your shots. So this is a nice place where, you know, we can practice how to serve the Lord by how we serve the devotees, how we serve the guests, how we serve our family members, so that we develop the mood of a servant. And then when we develop that, then we are able to see the Lord in everyone's heart. And like, you know, when we go for deity worship, most of the time we are not mindful. And we start treating it like an art. We forget we are dressing the Lord like that, you know. And then, so we must cultivate this mood of service in every relationship. And that is why it is said, Trinadapi sunichena taro riva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaninya sadarahi. To be more humble than a blade of grass, to be more tolerant than a tree, devoid of all sense of false prestige, and always chanting the holy names of the Lord, right? This is a very fertile heart for one to have be propelled in devotional service. So we have to develop this mood of servant, and our duties and this prakriti bhav naturally helps us. By if I do our duties sincerely, we will naturally develop these qualities. See, it is hard for a man to develop these qualities, but it's easier for a woman because of the role we have. Right, so this guest reception is a part of the charity or the part of extending ourselves to society that a grihastha has to do, a householder does. And Prabhupada says that that is a duty of a grihastha. And he says in the 4th canto, 22nd chapter, 10th verse purport, every householder, regardless of his position or economic condition, can at least receive saintly guests with great devotion and offer them drinking water. For drinking water is available always. In India, the custom is that even an ordinary person is offered a glass of water if he suddenly visits and one cannot offer him foodstuff. If there is no water, then one can offer a sitting place, even if it is on a straw mat. And if one has no straw mat, he can immediately cleanse the ground and ask the guest to sit there. Supposing that a householder cannot even do that, then with folded hands, he can simply receive the guest saying, "Welcome." And if he cannot do that, then he should feel very sorry for his poor condition and shed tears and simply offer obeisances with his whole family, wife and children. In this way, he can satisfy any guest, even if the guest is a saintly person or a king. So your attitude matters. So you serve your guests according to whatever means you have. If you have very good means, serve them very opulently. But if you don't have any means, at least offer your heart, your loving heart. And, you know, a lot of guest reception, proper guest reception that needs to be done about offering prasadam, offering them a place to sit. You know, this is all like a woman's domain. If the woman has created those facilities in the house through whatever means her husband has given to us, then the husband can offer those things. So if the means have been given to the woman, but if the woman is not using those facilities or not keeping those facilities properly, then it is very difficult to offer, for the husband to offer any of this reception and do the dharma. Like, I'll give you an example. Like, one time we were visiting one devotee's home, and that devotee used to ask us to come to their home many times. But it so happened that whenever we would drop by at that devotee's home, it would only be that the Prabhu, the man of the house, is only receiving us, and he is trying to make us sit and talk to us. And his wife would be sitting inside, not ready to come outside, not ready to talk to us, because she would be busy reading some scriptures, or she would be busy doing, you know, her own something. And then, you know, after one or two times, like, we didn't feel comfortable going over there because we felt that we don't want to inconvenience the family. It looks like they have a busy schedule and we don't want to inconvenience. So then the husband could do whatever he could do, but the kitchen would not be well stocked or the house would not be clean, you know, those kind of things. So, you know, there are certain roles that need to be followed. So, you know, if the now for a guest to be received properly, the woman makes that environment in the house through her feminine energy, because she keeps it comfortable, she keeps it beautiful, she keeps it nice. And we will discuss that when we do the session after the next session about, you know, having a nice atmosphere, you know, the importance of home decor, importance of stocking the house properly and things like that. So if the woman does not facilitate, then it is impossible to do this particular duty for any family person. And if the man also does not facilitate, but at least the woman can make prasadam available and she can at least make the house clean available, you know. And that, if see, if the man also does not talk to the guest, it is very uncomfortable for the guest. But at least the guest's physical needs and, you know, have been taken care of. You know, you don't know where they are traveling from, what kind of places they have gone to, whether they ate or not, things like that. So actually a woman's role is more prominent in these things. Now, why should grihasthas engage in this kind of charity of serving guests, serving saintly people and serving the poor, serving the helpers, serving all the animals? Like, why should we engage in like that? So basically the grihastha ashram or the householder ashram is the only economically productive ashram. See, brahmacharis are not earning money. Vanaprasthas, the elder generation, is also, because they're done with their duties, they're not into earning money. In fact, the grihasthas are supporting them so that they can further themselves in Krishna consciousness without worrying about, you know, basic maintenance. And then the sannyasis or the renounced order is also not earning anything. So how will these three be maintained? And these three are very important for society. And grihastha ashram is like 99% of the like 90% of the population, you can say. There are very few people in the renounced order and very few, like, you know, elderly, of course, the elderly population also. Now, how will they be facilitated if the grihasthas don't do charity? And how will they be facilitated so that they can be anxiety free in preaching Krishna consciousness and in engaging in the activities of Krishna consciousness if they have to worry about maintenance? See, now if you see in the United States, the way they have made the entire economy is a person does not retire till the age of 65. And they have to keep working. The longer they work, the better they get, the more social security they get, because they have saved more, they have paid more SSN and they have saved more 401k and all those kind of things. So they get more social security, right? And why do they work? You know, a lot of people, why they work till 65? So that they can get the social security benefits so that their old age can go nicely, right? Because this facility of caring for the old people is not there. And also here we don't see elder generation in the mainstream. Like if you go down Southeast 228th Avenue and if you go down further to reach the East Lake Sammamish Parkway, you will see this Providence, a big community. And that big community is fully only of old people. And you will see a lot of these retirement homes and everything. Now, some of us may feel, wow, this is a nice facility for them. But actually, it's not a nice facility. It's a nice way to keep the elderly generation out of the mainstream. So we miss out on the wisdom, we miss out on the experiences, and we miss out on the opportunity to serve them. And they are so worried about their maintenance all the time and what will happen to them if they fall sick and all that, that they are not able to focus the later years of their life in Krishna consciousness. So it is our duty to take care of these three different ashramas. And the woman is always going to be in Grihastha ashram. And of course, Vanaprastha. So it is our duty to support them, because this is our only, this is, see, the real social security is when the Grihastha ashram supports these people and they are not worried. And also the US economy is made in such a way that, you know, person cannot save a lot of money and live off that money, because there is no growth here. There's not much growth in terms of your interest or in terms of how the money grows and all. So basically they have no option but to keep working, when actually our Vedas say people should retire at the age of 50. Now, Prabhupada also writes down in the introduction to this 14th chapter, that is the basis of our discussion today, that according to the instructions of Srimad Bhagavatam, every grihastha is a great communist who provides the means of living for everyone. Whatever a grihastha may possess, he should equally distribute to all living entities without discrimination. And the best process is to distribute prasad. Whatever money a grihastha accumulates by the grace of God, he should spend in five activities, namely worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead, receiving Vaishnavas and saintly persons, distributing prasad to the general public and to all living entities, offering prasad to his forefathers. So that's another thing we do. When we are doing Shraddh, is basically we are offering them prasad. So we first cook, we offer it to Krishna, and then we offer it to them so that they are liberated wherever they are. And also offering prasad to his own self. So these are some of the instructions that are given by Prabhupada in connection to that ideal Grihastha life chapter. And we must do that. And the reason we need these vanaprasthas is so that they can also preach Krishna consciousness. They can be an example of renunciation for us. And that's why we need them in the mainstream, you know, in a detached way, but we still need to their visibility. And we need the renounced order so that they can go around preaching Krishna consciousness, because it is only by the association of the renounced order that we develop some appreciation for renunciation and also some attraction for Krishna by their preaching. And also the brahmacharis, so that those boys, when they're growing up in Krishna consciousness, and the children, when they're growing up in Krishna consciousness, they are taken care of nicely so that they can become good Krishna conscious citizens. And also charity has to be done properly, as Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita, that we give it out of duty without any expectation of return. Not that we do this, then we get this. Not like that. And to a worthy person. And Prabhupada also discussed many times, you know, like, giving liquor to a drunkard who is having withdrawal symptoms is not charity. That is in the mode of ignorance, charity in the mode of ignorance. So we want to do this charity in the mode of goodness, described in the 20th verse of the 17th chapter. And then he talks about, Krishna explains, charity performed with the expectation of some return or with a desire for fruitive results or in a grudging mood, it's charity in the mode of passion. Or to give an impure place, improper time, unworthy persons without proper attention and respect is ignorance. So we want to do this charity in the mode of goodness. And a woman is the one who facilitates this charity. And we'll read later on, we will read in another series, not in this series, but in a later series, we will read about the character of Draupadi And how she was managing all the wealth and the treasury of the Pandavas that they were getting in a virtuous way by going out and other kings were submitting to them very willingly because they wanted to be part of this king, Yudhishthir, who was ruling in such a Krishna conscious way. So they had so much treasury. And Draupadi was the one who used to manage their treasury and also manage all the charity that happened through that treasury. She was the one who did it. And we'll see in these future examples here. Like, service to saintly persons and is impossible without a good wife. Like, here, if you see saintly persons or guests or any charity, it's impossible. Because here you see Sudama Brahmana is coming to visit Lord Shri Krishna. He is his friend from school. So, Sudama is a saintly Brahmana. He's a guest and he's a needy poor person. He's all three in one. And you see in these pictures how the lady behind Lord Shri Krishna is Rukmini Devi and how she's personally assisting the Lord in serving him. Right? Like here, she's holding the water pitcher so that the Lord can, wash those feet of the Brahmana very nicely. And we offer respect to the Brahmanas because of their renunciation and their knowledge and how they are helping us in going further in Krishna consciousness. And here, how she is personally fanning Sudama. Krishna is offering him different kinds of foodstuffs. Now, all these different foodstuffs were offered to Sudama. Who managed the cooking of that foodstuff? It had to be Rukmini. And who ensured that Sudama Vipra got a nice sitting place? And who ensured he had a nice place to rest? Who ensured all that? It was Rukmini. Without her service, all this was not possible. And look how Krishna is serving the saintly persons, who is also a guest, who's also a poor person. He's setting an example for us, and Rukmini Devi is setting an example for all women on how guests should be served. And in the next slide, we see how, after in the 10th canto, 7th chapter, 5th verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said, after completing the bathing ceremony for the child, Mother Yashoda received the Brahmanas by worshipping them with proper respect and giving them ample food grains and other eatables, clothing, desirable cows and garlands. The Brahmanas properly chanted Vedic hymns to observe the auspicious ceremony. And when they finished and Mother Yashoda saw that the child felt sleepy, she lay down on the bed with the child until he was peacefully asleep. So we've read this verse in another connection in the motherhood section, but here we also read this in connection of how Mother Yashoda ensured that all the Brahmanas were worshipped properly, they were given proper charity, all cows and everything. That was her domain. Right? And so many guests came for that particular ceremony. Right? She made sure, of course, husband and wife cooperate together, but the woman makes sure that the kitchen is stocked. The woman makes sure that the people who come are fed nicely. Then, there are gifts that need to be shared, right? Loving exchanges. And if you read in the Bhagavatam, in this particular ceremony, Rohini, was it Rohini? Who's Lord Balram's mother is, yeah, Rohini Sutta, yeah. So she was also living under the shelter of Yashodamai and Vasudev, Yashodamai and Nanda Maharaj. But because she was living, she was away from her husband because Vasudev was in the jail, in Kamsa's jail. So she was following the etiquette of a Vedic woman and she was not decorating herself very nicely. But Yashoda Mai also, to celebrate the birth of her own son, she gave Rohini Devi also very beautiful ornaments and clothes. And then Rohini Devi also dresses herself up very nicely because in principle she would not dress up, but because she wanted to reciprocate with Yashoda Mai's love, she also dresses up nicely. So now all these, see, when you give these gifts, you maintain these relationships and all, it makes the atmosphere very loving and pleasing, and that's all we all need. And then you can all advance together in Krishna consciousness. And here Prabhupada explains the same thing. This occasion, basically they are celebrating Janmashtami. He's telling Mother Yashoda arranged to distribute a large quantity of grain and first class cows decorated with golden ornaments. Now, who decorated the cows with golden ornaments? Who made sure that the cows were decorated? It had to be Yashoda Mai. Were made ready to be given in charity to the learned, respectable Brahmanas. A man will do it, but a woman has to support these things, right? And then the Brahmanas were pleased very nicely. And if you just read this thing of Nanda Mahotsav, or this, where Lord Krishna is being bathed, then so many people are coming, so many gifts are being given. Why would people come to someone's home, so many people, if they feel happy and comfortable, if they have that relationship, loving relationship? So it's very important to do that. So we support the saintly and renounced order. Again, they don't need that love in that sense, but out of our service, we offer them love and care. We give them a place to live when they're traveling. We take care of these basic needs, take care of prasadam, do our bit. You know, we can give a part of our income to them. And that purifies our earnings, actually. When we use our money in charity, it purifies our earning. We take care of their health. And whatever money we give them, they use it in the propagation of Krishna consciousness. So they are anxiety-free to preach. Another example of how service to saintly people and guests and the poor is impossible without a good wife is the example of Draupadi. So the Rajasuya Yajna in the Mahabharata, which was organized by Yudhishthir Maharaj, was an elaborate affair. It has a huge scale of operations. There were many, many guests, many, many gifts, many, many ladies had come. Krishna had come with all his queens, and many arrangements had to be made, and many saintly persons had to be made. Now, do you think if you in your family is there with such a big scale of operations, do you think it is possible without your participation it can happen properly? No, you have to do it as a team. You have to support your husband to do those things, right? And then if you see the service to saintly people, like Durvasa Muni, when he comes with his huge Duryodhana to embarrass the Pandavas, he tells Durvasa Muni to go and visit. And then Durvasa Muni is coming with hundreds and thousands of disciples to eat. And then Draupadi has already eaten from the Akshay Patra. There's no grain left. So then it's very difficult, you know, to serve. So then Durvasa Muni says that, we're bathing and coming in the river and you keep everything ready. So Draupadi has to cook this huge meal, right? And do you think it is possible to serve the saintly people without the support of Draupadi like that? But now we may say, oh, man can do it. But no, a man cannot even sit in a Vedic sacrifice without, you know, a woman. He has to have his wife by his side. So how do you think he can serve a saintly person without somebody helping him with these arrangements like that? And actually, you have to see it that the woman is facilitating the man's service. Without the woman, the man cannot do the service. And we already discussed this third point. And then regarding helpers and poor. So Draupadi was managing the entire treasury. She was managing the needs of all the maidservants and the servants. She was managing the needs of all the animals, all the caretaker of the animals and everyone. She was doing a lot of charity and taking care of them, a lot of compassion. And the best charity that you can even do to the helpers and the poor is to give them the charity of Krishna consciousness. So I'll give you two examples. There is one devotee in Bombay, very advanced devotee. Her name is Her Grace Radharani Mataji. Sometimes she gives Chetana lectures. And she has three daughters, Radhika, Gandharvika and Rasika. And her husband is Muralidhar Prabhu, both very advanced devotees. And she hired a maid servant. And her maid servant, that girl was probably maybe like 16 years or something like that, to help her with her children and everything. And that girl's name was Premaka. But the way Radharani Mataji treated her and took care of her, even if she was a helper in the house, that girl is now an initiated disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami, and her name is Premaka. So Radharani Mataji, of course, she would have paid her whatever was needed to take care of her house and whatever duties she did, but she also ensured that girl becomes Krishna consciousness, she chants 60 rounds, she attends all the temple programs, she attends all the lectures, and if she would not understand the lectures in English, then Radharani Mataji would sit next to her and do live translation for her. Like that. So this is the highest charity she could give. Like, you know, no matter how much money you give, person may not be able to come out of their poverty. But if you give them the charity of Krishna consciousness, they are destined to come out of this misery of birth, disease, old age and death. Then there is another example of Krishna Chandra Prabhu's chauffeur. Like he's Hrishikesh Mafatlal. He's the owner of the Mafatlal group of industries in India. But the way he treated his driver, his chauffeur, was so wonderful that his chauffeur became a disciple of His Holiness Radhanath Swami also, a very sincere disciple. And there was one time a kirtan, and everyone was dancing in the temple in the kirtan. Rishikesh Mafatlal Prabhu, Krishna Chandra Prabhu, was dancing right in the front. And when the kirtan went into great ecstasy, he went around searching for where his chauffeur was. And then he found his chauffeur in the crowd, and then he was holding his hands together, lifting him up and dancing with him together. So this is the beauty, and this is the highest charity that we can do towards people who are helpers also, people who are poor also, is to give them that love give them that Krishna consciousness. And also this prasadam distribution that Prabhupada talks about, this food for life. Basically, if we share more and more prasad with other people, so one thing is, you know, have a well-stocked kitchen. You don't know who might come to your house. You know, sometimes people come, like handymen come, sometimes plumbers come, sometimes electricians come, sometimes some other people come. If you always have prasadam in your house, you can always serve these people with some prasadam. And as women, you know, it's that's a domain we manage, the kitchen. And we also ensure, because we should be guiding our husbands in how to do charity, that we should make sure that charity goes to Krishna conscious sources. And we also, as women, if we limit our needs and if we limit the expenses in our house, then we can engage our wealth in the five things that Prabhupada has said. So a woman's contribution in society through her Krishna conscious and feminine nature is very, very powerful. Because in the previous three sessions, we have discussed about how she gives a good population. She trains good men and good women for the next generation, right? And if she's training Krishna conscious men and Krishna conscious women for the next generation, the entire society fabric is going to be very, very powerful. And then she directs the men, her husband, properly, like a minister guides a king. So then when the man's intelligence, as we discussed last time, a good woman gives good intelligence, and the society proper follows proper values. And then, because proper respect is given to saintly persons, they can respect, they can preach freely without any anxiety. And then the elderly people can fulfill the aim of life. And because there is a loving network of elderly people, saintly people, relatives, family, friends, community of devotees, and it's a loving network, we end up learning so much Krishna consciousness from each other and advancing together spiritually. You know, the power of association like that and of loving network of relationships is something that has to be experienced for us to be able to develop faith in that. And a woman, through her service and her facilitation of charity and her feminine nature, is able to do all of these things. Now, Krishna's network is all about developing wonderful relationships based on service towards all living entities, right? And that service is not mundane service, as we discussed. It is service so that we can facilitate a person in advancing in Krishna consciousness. Now, sometimes some devotees who get fanatic say that, oh, why should I take care of the, you know, suppose my neighbor is, you know, their car broke down, you know, how is me taking, helping them in that time, you know, facilitating that Krishna consciousness? No, that person is a devotee and is having a life struggle, and we go and serve that devotee in that time of need. And that, you know, reduces a lot of their anxiety so that their time can also go in Krishna consciousness. And finally, they are devotees. All their time is in Krishna consciousness, so we serve them. And for those who are not in Krishna consciousness, if we serve them, we are setting a very good example for them, to attract them. So whether you are a Chinese woman or an Islamic woman or a Jewish woman or an Indian woman, you know, if a woman does her role nicely, then, you know, a wonderful relationship network based on service and love is developed in the society. You know, because that is the feminine aspect in this world. And so if a woman does that, you know, it is like naturally the prakriti nature of service, and it makes the society very, very wonderful and very, very beautiful, and keeps that society fabric very nice and tight and very beautiful and very Krishna conscious. So I'm not sure if I made a lot of sense, but this is just to show you another aspect of a woman's role in keeping the society and network together. And another point is also, like, you know, we live in these neighborhoods. So, you know, this also, like, understanding another woman's, you know, another family's pain, helping them in taking care of their children, helping them in their emergencies and all, it's possible only by a woman's agreement. The woman does not agree, it's impossible for two families to have a relationship. See, you know, the men can continue being friendly with each other if the women are not, they'll continue being friendly at a superficial level if the women, both the wives are not friendly with each other. But if the women are friendly to each other, and if the husbands are not even on talking terms with each other, still a lot of loving exchanges can happen in terms of helping each other, taking care of the children, taking care of the family and everything like that. So something for all of you to consider, how doing these duties, helping the husband in his dharma, as Narad Muni has explained, of taking care of the elders, the animals, charity, poor, saintly people, vanaprasthas, all of these people, how it helps you advance in your own Krishna consciousness, how it makes you more tolerant, how it makes you more advanced, and how it helps you situate yourself more and more in this nature of I am an eternal servant, part and parcel of Krishna, and how it helps society advance together how it helps us put the preachings of the renounced order into practice. Right? So the next session is going to be session 8. Since we've talked so much about prasadam, right, in motherhood, in wifehood, and even in the society thing together, and also one of the loving exchanges is to invite others for prasad and to accept prasad, we're going to talk about the science of prasadam, meal planning, storage and preservation, and also this may seem like, oh, why is she teaching this thing? No, this is very important for our health, especially, I don't know how many of you heard Hari Vilas Prabhu's class on the importance of an alkaline diet and how some of the things that our previous generations used to do was all about keeping the diet alkaline and keeping things fresh and healthy, and how that helps us have an able body and mind, and then also the scientific effects of eating food that is not prasad, and the scientific effects of you know, how the cook's consciousness impacts the food they are cooking in and how it enters our body. I have like two very hair-raising examples about that that we will discuss next time, and this is another very important domain for us to do, and it's also a domain to develop a loving network of relationships with society and to make our family also feel loved and cared. Like, we've discussed this a lot of times, we're going to discuss many more aspects to that. So are there any questions, any discussion, any points you would like to add? Please feel free to do that. Just one thing I want to add is that, you know, all these are aspects of our feminine nature. And even if, you know, the entire world may be telling you to, you know, change and to, you know, not follow this path and, you know, what are you getting out of it and all, just remember, you know, this is a very, very important aspect, you know. So please protect, you all are such wonderful ladies. So please protect your feminine nature. It's very, very important for society. You know, if this feminine qualities go down in the world, then, you know, I don't know how this world is going to be. So please keep it intact. Even if you have to go to work, sometimes we have to, you know, come out of our feminine nature. Sometimes when we are dealing with the outside world, we have to be, you know, we cannot be loving and all of that so many times. But, you know, sometimes you may change yourself just for the sake of it, you know, to be in that situation. But, you know, always come back to this great feminine nature, because this feminine nature is coming from Radharani. And we want to follow these qualities of Radharani that are there in our life. So thank you very much, and all glories to womanhood, and we will meet you all next time. Hare Krishna.